You know, it's funny. Last night, well, two nights ago, Monday night. Yeah. God, yeah. I keep forgetting today's Wednesday. Monday night, I actually had some things in mind to talk about. But now I have no idea what I was thinking, except it's something about WKRP, but I can't quite remember what about WKRP. Although, you know what's really sad about WKRP is the fact that we will never get to see the show the way it originally was because of the music stuff. You know, because they incorporated real pop music into the show. And, you know, so much of that is lost. I mean, they did things around it, you know, like there was a, I was watching these the other day. There was a second episode during the second episode. There was a scene where Johnny is saying something about, you know, needing some medicine or something like that. And then he starts up a song. Well, you know, it was a specific song.
Yeah. Right. Right.
But of course, it's just some random rock, you know.
Right.
It's like Alexa play rock.
Yeah, exactly. The there's that the one episode about the guy who's defecting from Russia, and they played the Elton John song "Tiny Dancer."
Yeah.
And for Bailey Quarters, you know, and then that was anyway. That was meaningful, you know. That was part of their writing,
right?
And so then that's kind of lost on.
That would just be some generic rock song with no lyrics. It's always just like, you know, music. So I don't know. It's kind of sad.
That's why the Brady Bunch is really built to hold up over years, because they just, they avoided that whole thing. You know,
it's always.
Well, and it was always like whenever they were going to, like if they were having a party or some dance, it was always just some generic.
Right. Yeah. Although they did have that episode with
Pete Jones. I knew you were going to say that. Yeah, but that was like, you know, they like shot the light.
But that's him shooting live, too. I mean, he recorded that for the show, so they own it.
Yeah, I think that's correct. He did. I think they do own that. Are they?
I would assume that's how that works.
I like that idea of like in the Brady Bunch world, the Davy Jones is like this huge, you know, sensation. You know, I like that. I wish was that all of television of a particular age was consistent on that stuff. So for example, like, you know, like in other shows, like at least on ABC, you know, like in every show, like Davy Jones would be like the biggest pop star in the world.
I thought Davy Jones was a huge star. What's he not? Is that what you're telling me?
There's a podcast.
He was on the Brady Bunch.
Did I send you the podcast about WKRP?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what got me thinking about WKRP.
It's a real deep dive. That is a deep dive show.
Well, then I got to thinking about.
But it's good. I mean, they do a good job for what it is, I think.
Sure.
I think
they do. Yeah. I can't watch WKRP now without thinking about the theme song.
Right.
And just how good that theme song was. Like, it's just a brilliant opening to a TV show.
Sure.
It's so good. What are you doing to your mic? Like you're rubbing your finger on it or something.
Oh, maybe I am. Well, it's the internal mic now. The other one broke.
Already?
So yeah.
Do we want to say the brand name so we can?
So I'm so hard on technology. That reminds me of the butter knife prying off the space bar. The laptop on the floor of your apartment. That was a bad idea.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, exactly.
It might work.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I guess I'm officially done with football, so it's kind of sad.
Yeah, that's what it's sounding like.
But I hadn't even looked at the scores or anything, I realized the other day.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Just kind of, I realized I should probably just take the TUCSC down. you know, or put a note up there. It just says the site is no longer being maintained.
Yeah, that's what I would do. Probably and then what that way, somebody wants to pick it up, they could just.
There's a couple of others out there that I remember we got contacted by somebody at one point who was wanting to start a site, and he wanted to know if we had interest in, you know, kind of going in with him. We're like, nah, we're not that serious about it.
Yeah.
But he had a different, I think we had the same current champion, but he, somewhere along the way, there was variation.
Sure.
Right. You know, I think what I realized was that there was a particular game at a particular date where all these, I think there's three different sites out there now that do the same idea. Yeah. And on that one game, they all come together and have the same calendar from then on out. Like the same champion from that point on.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
So, yeah, I forget the game though, but like Miami, Nebraska, or one of those early 80s games.
Okay.
But, yeah. Anyhow.
Yeah. Well, the ultimate, what was it? The unofficial, not ultimate, the unofficial college football championship.
Yeah. The thing that almost smokes is my power ratings.
Right.
That's all I cared about.
The most fun thing the most fun thing I think of all that, anything like that, the most fun thing is setting it up. The maintaining is always the stuff. To me, it is.
Yeah. Anyway. No, I know what you mean.
Yeah. I remember once I went through all of the old, I tried to piece together that if the NFL had disappeared and the NFL merged into the AFL and what that would look like. And I spent so much time over like a week, like trying to refigure all these like results and divisional championships. And it was basically, you know, the whole point was just trying to set it up to where the Dolphins won more championships in my mind, you know?
Sure.
And I don't know. I can't remember how it all came out.
Somehow it all worked out where the Patriots just won everything.
Yeah. So. Yeah, exactly. Well, the thing about the football now is that, yeah, it continues to tempt me to try to give it up. Although I watched a fair amount of college football over the weekend, or paid attention to a fair amount. But now the Dolphins season opener has been postponed until week 12 or something like that. They're not playing because of the hurricane.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So now the Dolphins will play.
Who knows when it stopped?
Pick up here.
Having a tough day.
The news just continues to, seems like every time we get to podcast day, it's just like, oh, the news is so awful. And, it's just all the time right now. And then like, I'm not really interested in anything else. In fact, I kind of feel silly talking about anything else, but.
That's why I focus on things like sitcom theme songs.
Yeah, I know. Well, I try to too. You know, I try to think about stuff like that, but the truth is I'm not interested in any of that stuff right now. You know?
No, I know what you mean.
It's just,
I know what you mean. Margaret and I were talking about that last night. It's just kind of hard to focus on other stuff.
Yeah, it really is. It's so depressing.
Especially if we got another hurricane coming down that could be even worse than the last one. So,
yeah,
it kind of makes you wonder, but.
Yep.
I always think, you know, it's funny whenever hurricanes roll through Florida, especially, I always think about my uncle and his son. They would always go wherever the hurricanes hit every year and do construction work.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They pretty much go every year to Florida or Carolina or Texas, wherever, you know, wherever damage was, where they needed carpenters and people to come help rebuild. So
that's wild. I had no idea. I didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it was strange. I thought, I don't know. He always wanted to be on the go. He was never one to stay put anywhere. He's one of those kind of people. He just liked to be going. And, I remember one year he got this notion to go to California.
Uh-huh.
And so this would have probably been, I guess, in the late 80s. I think I was in college. I might have still been in high school, but I think I was out of high school. And, he bought a car for $25, got in the car with his daughter who was pregnant, like 8 months pregnant, and her husband. And they just took off for California. Somewhere along the line, she had to stop and have the baby.
Oh.
And then they got to California and they stayed out there for, I don't know, 6 months or so.
Yeah.
Just working and doing stuff. And then they sold the car they had taken out there, bought a new car, and drove back.
What an interesting thing. What an odd.
You know. Some people are like that though. Some people just can't.
Yeah.
I was reading a story recently, maybe USA Today or somebody had a story about this guy. His family had been looking for him for quite a few years. And they've finally figured out, you know, where he was when he died and all this stuff. And he was like that. He was a guy, like, he would show up every few years and stay for 6 months or maybe a year. Mm-hmm. And then he would just, one day he'd just wake up and he'd be gone.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And he would, you know, they family might not hear from him for, you know, months.
Mm-hmm.
But that was just who he was, you know. He just couldn't stay settled anywhere. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's a significant amount of the population that is like that, you know. I think it is a minority, but I don't think it's a tremendous minority of people that would like to be that way, who would be more happy
to be just more go. More,
yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'll tell you, the guys like the one who went down and did the work like in the hurricane area. I mean, man, when those people came through after the ice storm here, we needed them.
I mean, we'll
have them.
Sure.
Know?
Yeah.
Cause there wasn't nearly enough skilled craftspeople, you know, in this area to handle the amount, or it didn't seem like it to handle the amount of work that needed doing.
That's the way he looked at it. You know, there was always plenty of work cause they needed people.
Of course.
To come and do the work. And, usually they put up, you know, a campground or something where these guys can stay while they're doing the work.
Yeah.
At pretty much no cost. And so, you know, you go down there, you work for 6 months or so, get a lot done and then make some money. Yeah. And then you hit the road again.
Yeah.
And, but you're right. I mean, you take when a community, even a city the size of Houston, when it gets hit this hard, there's not enough craftsmen to do that kind of work.
Right.
You know.
Well, and if they actually live in that area, they're probably dealing in their own lives.
Yeah, they've got their own issues to deal with. Yeah.
Or their employees do or whatever. So, yeah, you do need people coming in from the outside. I thought, you know, a couple of years ago, I was trying to think out a story about, I'm always interested in the people that do things like sell Christmas trees or sell fireworks, you know, the very seasonal stuff. And I was trying for a while to flesh out, a story about a widower father and his daughter, you know, thinking about like, gosh, what if I started doing a business like that? Like, let's say, you know, like if my wife were to die and, you know, doing something like that and doing, you know, you do Christmas trees on one side and fireworks on the other, or, you know, some kind of combination of all these different seasonal.
No joke here. This is not kidding. There is a Hallmark movie about this for Christmas.
You're kidding me.
No.
Jeez,
no. The guy goes to New York every year to sell Christmas trees. right? No. They, his farm is like in upstate New York or something like that. And then every year at Christmas, they come down and set up on the street in New York and sell Christmas trees. And now his kids are getting older, you know, his wife's passed.
Yeah.
And his kids are getting older and they don't really want to do it anymore. And yeah, you know, there's this big conflict between him and his son, if I'm remembering right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And his son like takes off, just leaves, just escapes into New York. You know, that's the whole movie. Yeah.
There you go. Whoever wrote that, they were much more interested. They actually had the idea and actually did something.
And then there's another one that was out. I think it was out last year too on Netflix. It was another movie about a guy who comes down and sells Christmas trees every year. But
that's funny.
It wasn't about a widower though. It was a little different.
Yeah. But. Right.
Sorry to sidetrack you on that.
No, it's good. I'm glad to know that. Now I don't feel guilty about having not ever done anything with it because it actually got done. That's good. I'm just so impressed with people that actually finish things.
Are you kidding?
Oh my God. You know, people that actually write things where they don't, you know, I don't know. I guess in a lot of cases they do have to make a living from it, but,
the greatest example right now to me, if she finishes it, and I don't know if she can, is Sue Grafton. So do you know who Sue Grafton is?
I don't know anything about her, really. Yeah, I've heard the name.
So she started when she was in her 40s, I think. She started this series, the Kinsey Millhone series of novels.
Okay.
They're mystery books. And the first one was called A is for Alibi. And the whole idea was that she was going to, write 26 books, right? A through Z.
Right.
Well, now she's 77. She just came out with, Y is for Yesterday.
Oh my.
So she's only got one to go.
That's so cool. So
she actually went to Western Kentucky. I was just looking her up on Wikipedia.
Is that right?
She went to Louisville and then Western when it was Western Kentucky State Teachers College. And then she finished back up at Louisville.
Well, I'll be darned.
So.
Huh. Well, I just think, I mean, I just look at, you know, people make fun of, you know, like crack on bad stuff. I mean, I don't care how good or bad it is. It's amazing when somebody actually finishes something.
Right. Oh, no, I'm with you. Yeah.
I mean, like all those album reviews that you do. I mean, somebody sat down and did all those songs. That's amazing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the weird thing to me about her is that she went on to she was trying to write and not finding any success. And she ended up in California doing screenplays.
Okay.
And she worked doing that for years, for a long time. And then she got to doing her book series, like I said, I think she started in the '80s. And it's just, so her first book came out in 1982.
Yeah.
So, but she's always said that she would never let her books be made into film because, you know, she used to do that for a living and she knows how little control writers actually have over stuff like that. And, she didn't want anybody else to, you know, take control of her character and make it, you know, she didn't want to give up that control she had, which I thought was interesting, but yeah. If she actually makes it though to Z, like that kind of blows my mind.
Oh, it's so cool. That is so cool. I heard somebody talking about that recently and how much more they liked writing for movies than they like writing for television. Because in movies, you just have to know that once you've written it, it's done. Once it's gone, it's gone. You know, like, you really don't. The writer has so little say, is never called into.
Right.
You know, this writer's experience had been that they never had any influence on a movie, but that if you write for TV, you're constantly involved. You know, you're constantly, you know, and that how frustrating that is to then try to create in committee. You know, that they found it much more satisfying. Okay, I wrote this book and it's done and that's really my thing. And isn't it flattering that somebody wanted to make a movie about it? But then they didn't feel any sort of territorial thing because they just felt like the movie was a completely different animal.
Right.
Whereas when you're writing for TV, you're kind of along for the whole way. I mean, I don't know if that's always true, but in any event, that had been this person's experience, and that they found that so much more frustrating to actually have some control over the byproduct, you know?
Well, I've always wondered, like, Harold Ramis, I think he was on Fresh Air one time, and he was talking about writing screenplays and stuff. And he was talking about, Groundhog Day, you know, it was a screenplay that was written by somebody. And, Ramis, somehow he got his hands on it and sat down, you know, bought the rights to it or whatever. I don't know how that worked, but you know, he got his hands on it and he rewrote it essentially into what was the final movie. And I've always wondered about that, you know, so you write this story, you kind of put it out there, and then somebody else comes along, gets the story, finishes it, essentially rewrites it, does whatever they do to it. And I wonder what that's like for you as the original screenplay writer. Like, how much was changed? How much do you look at it and think, oh man, I'm an idiot. That guy is a genius. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Yeah. That's right. It's interesting. I never thought of that.
He did the same for Ghostbusters, too.
Oh, is that right?
Dan Aykroyd actually wrote the original screenplay.
That's right. I did know that.
And he brought it to Ramis, and Ramis said, yeah, you know, this has potential. Uh-huh. And then he sat down and pretty much rewrote it. But the other weird one from that is he also wrote Animal House.
Uh-huh.
And that they actually wrote – as a team.
Huh.
Like he and two other guys, I forget who now, wrote it in like they each wrote parts of it.
Okay.
And that seems almost impossible to me. Like how could you write a movie? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to me, that would be, it seems like anyway, that would be kind of like, like a lot of television where you would have to, you know, you'd have to have somebody who would really be seeing kind of the big, you know, the context of how each of the pieces fit together.
Right.
But then turn over individual episodes to different writers. And
maybe that's John Landis. Maybe John Landis played that role. You know, maybe he sat there and.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right.
You know what's crazy though about Ramis is, I think I've written about this on the Heat Post, but the list of movies that he wrote is just kind of insane to me. You know, Animal House, Meatballs, Caddyshack, Stripes, Ghostbusters. You know,
did
I mean,
did he write Caddyshack?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Analyze This, which I never saw.
Yeah. What About Bob? I think he wrote What About Bob.
But it's just, you know, that's a good run.
Yeah, it is. And what an what a crazy, like, you know, there's somebody who probably spent all of his time growing up reading Mad Magazine.
Yeah.
And thinking that was hilarious, and he had any number of voices saying, quit wasting your time, do something different. And he, like, you know, I was like, no, I think this is great. Right. And I'm going to write the best Mad Magazine movies of all time.
Right. Yeah.
I'm going to do 20 of them. We're all going to make $1 million.
Just the fact that you could write Caddyshack in stripes.
Oh, I know.
It's like you're the god of male humor, you know,
absolutely,
for the rest of time.
Yeah, you're quoted by every, and on every dorm floor from 1992 through 1992.
Yeah, and then, I'll just throw Animal House and Ghostbusters in on top of that, you know. Well, you know, he told this great story. It's a great interview with Terry Gross. You should go look it up. But he told this great story about how he had gone to he was with Second City. And he left. He took some time off to go write Animal House.
Yeah.
And when he came back, they said, we got this new guy who's, you know, who's taken on your characters. You know, you should come see him. He's really good.
Yeah.
And of course he goes and it's John Belushi.
Okay.
And he's like, okay, I'm done, you know, with this. And, his thing, he used to teach acting and he said the thing he would tell his students at the start of class was look around you, find the funniest person in the room, the best actor in the room, and become their best friend.
Yeah.
Like, that's how you have a solid career, you know? Because he felt like that's what he did. You know, he just hitched his wagon to Bill Murray and said, let's, you know.
Yeah.
So.
That's hilarious.
He's very funny.
The, that whole like Second City, that I mean, those different improvisational communities, you know, like in Chicago and Toronto and New York and different places, they strike me as so strange, you know, as someone who only knows about that stuff, like from the TV shows that crop up, you know, you kind of think of them like the minor leagues of baseball and that sort of thing. Yeah. So you expect for the progression to kind of like follow as they do in baseball. But like one of the things I noticed this spring was like that Brian, I'm pretty certain I'm saying this correctly, that Brian Doyle Murray like preceded Bill Murray on any of the at the Chicago show. And I think that like Jim Belushi was like there at the same time with John Belushi, you know, and because I only watch, you know, from having watched TV and movies, I always do think of those guys as very much following Bill Murray and John Belushi because they come on Saturday Night Live after those guys or whatever, you know, whatever they were on. And, anyway, like Joe Flaherty, you know, he was way early. I mean, he was involved and like he was, like in reading the 1971 stuff, like he was, I think this is probably right to say, he was like the biggest star at that place at that time. You know, he was the one who got the main parts. And, you know, by the time he gets on SCTV, when we see it on NBC,
it's too late.
You know, he was kind of on the side, you know, he was kind of very much an ensemble player, but the stars were, you know, John Candy and whoever else, you know. But
yeah, Joe Flaherty, I mean, he took that to make movies and stuff here and there, but he was always, you know, just kind of a side character.
Yeah. 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 If you're just seeing on TV. Well, did it record any?
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, good. Good.
Well, I don't even know what we talked about today.
I don't either, but I'll have to say that I do think that sort of the meta talk about the podcast, I do think this is our best podcast, like in terms of where it's basically just like a phone conversation.
Or we just talk.
Yeah, exactly. And it just like sort of, it's just a phone conversation about whatever. And, you know, it doesn't try to follow a show format at all. I think this is the best way they go.
Speaking of SCTV, can I tell one quick SCTV story? There was I'm trying to remember his name now, but there was an interview with Dave Thomas, I heard years ago, where he had gotten onto that show. It was a big hit at the time. It was a sitcom. Yeah.
Grace Under Fire.
Yeah. He was on Grace Under Fire.
Yeah, he was really good on that.
And he was hanging around one day on set, and he was sitting in with the writers while the writers were talking and writing an episode, and he made some comment, you know, about a joke or something that he would throw in. Mm-hmm. And the writers were like, hey, that's pretty good, you know, like, hey, you're pretty funny, you know, like, maybe you should think about being a writer. You know?
That's good.
That's fantastic. It's just like, yeah, it's, I guess I'm. You realize he was, you know, they had no idea who he was. So,
you know what was great about Dave Thomas's character on that show? And I may be misremembering, but I don't think so, because I think you and I even talked about it at the time. Yeah, I mean, I doubt you didn't watch that show at all, did you?
I saw bits and parts here and there.
So I watched, I really liked it. I really thought it was good. And one of the things I thought was so clever about it is that they made that Dave Thomas character was a friend of the main woman character. So her name was Brett Butler.
Yeah.
Something like that. And anyway, she, the show was about her, and Dave Thomas was a friend of hers. And as I recall, what they did was is they made it that in the backstory that he had had, like, at different times had crushes on her, but it was always unrequited. And they were just friends. But then they didn't make him, they also didn't make him, like, homosexual, and they didn't make him, you know, it was just that.
Right.
They were just friends. And that, in fact, there was, on his part, some hope for something more, but it never had turned into anything. And then it was never the focus of a show.
Right.
And I thought, that is really, that is not represented a lot in TV. You know, like that sort of.
No, that's true.
You know.
It's almost never represented.
Yeah, I don't think I'd ever seen it anywhere else. But in fact, you know, it's all over, you know, the world. I mean, it's you know, there's a ton of, I mean, that exists all over the place, you know. And anyway, yeah, I remember thinking that was so clever, and he was really great at you know, playing that, like, with the right key, you know, this sort of, like, you know, defeatist resignation, you know, but whatever, you know, this was it, this was life, and that's fine, you know. It was cool.
He's really a good guy that I always thought he was the funniest guy on SCTV.
He was very funny.
Like, I just thought he was so funny. And, but you know, he never seemed to be able to, I mean, he just never did anything really outside of SCTV, you know. I mean, you know, he's on shows like Grace Under Fire and stuff like that, but he was never, it wasn't like Rick Moranis was a much bigger star.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
But.
Right.
I don't know. Yep. Oh, well.
Oh, well. Okay. So are you guys doing okay?
Yeah, we're doing pretty good. Doing pretty good.
All right. Same here. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, let me know if there's any music choice you have for this week. So I don't even remember what I did last week.
Yeah, try for the Great White North. Take off to the Great
White North. I've tried to find that before. I didn't have any luck.
It's a beauty way to go.
Maybe I'll try to find TV theme songs.
Yeah, you can do if you can find the WKRP, you can find.
I'm sure I can find Hill Street Blues.
Yeah,
I'm sure. I'm sure there's a MIDI for Hill Street Blues.
Right, there would have to be. I'm sure there is for Rockford Files.
Yeah. Ooh, that might be. I hadn't thought about that one.
That was number one song in the country, I'm pretty certain.
I hadn't thought about that one. I know a conversation we should have sometime, though.
Okay.
Is so. We like to watch shows at night right before we go to bed, like Adam 12, Dragnet, shows of that nature that, you know, you don't want to get something you're too wrapped into to laugh and stuff like that. You want something you can kind of go to sleep to.
Yeah.
Of course, those are kind of depressing shows, but yeah, it's whatever.
I'm sure she's putting up with that. You know, I'm sure she.
But but the thing is, what's another show that sort of fits into that realm of show? It's hard to come up with them.
Yeah.
You know, it's 30 minutes. It's short. It's quick.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of quiet.
Yeah.
You know, But I assume you love the episodes of Dragnet where they're watching TV together.
Oh, that's the best. Those are my favorites. Yeah, any kind that they have like a reference to.
They're going to watch the game.
Yeah.
The football game, the baseball game. Yeah,
those are always the best for me. My version of that is because I don't have any trouble going to sleep, but I have a fair amount of nights where I wake up in the middle of the night and can't go back to sleep. And so mine is like the 3 o'clock in the morning, and I want to put on something that will be just enough story to draw me in and get me out of whatever I'm worrying about.
Right.
But not enough to where it actually holds my attention. And so like, yeah, that's my version of that. It's probably pretty similar to what you're looking for. Yeah. I always, you know, but.
So what's your go-to show?
So mine, and only because it's, and I always want something that I don't have to, like we've got cable. And so I want something that's actually being broadcast. So I don't have to do any controls. And, so I can just flip on the channel and put it low on volume and let it go.
Right.
And mine is in the middle of the night on, I haven't had to do this for a while, so I don't know if it's still on, but they showed a bunch of Cheers reruns on like,
I could see that. Sure.
Oh, or one of those odd, TV or something. It's not TNT, Hallmark, one of those channels. And I can put those things on and it's just enough, you know, like, yeah, it's just enough to hold my interest and I'll start thinking about that show and then that's it. Then I'm out. And so that's then cool. I wake up and it's like, you know, Golden Girls is on.
Newhart's good for that.
Newhart would be good.
Mary Tyler Moore show.
Yeah. It's Newhart good might be that. A little too funny for me. I mean, that might be a little too, you know,
right.
I might like that a little too much.
Well, but. You've seen him so many times though.
Yeah, that helps.
You know, that helps.
MASH would be a good one for me.
I couldn't do MASH. I can't watch MASH. We were talking about that the other day, Margaret. All right.
By the way, that's the next big thing on the I've decided I'm not – I'm going to
– Well, we've already talked about this topic now, so we can't talk about it again. On the
top. Yeah, exactly. Sorry, I blew it. The next significant thing for the 1971 on the HP will be the new TV season. Since I'm not gonna, I'm gonna try to stay away from the football season.
Oh yeah, that's right.
The new TV season starts. I think it's September 18th.
Sure.
Or September 15th for 1971. So I plan to do a fair amount of writing about the new 1971 TV season. So maybe we'll have some stuff to talk about there on the podcast.
Oh, you know a good one I need to see if I can find is the Love Boat. That would put me to sleep every time.
Yeah. That's a good.
And it's long. You could drag one episode out over like nights.
The thing I always think about with the Love Boat is how when you and your family went to Washington, D.C., and the first thing you guys did, I don't even know if you remember this, but you told me about it. I think we were in middle school and you guys drove up to Washington, D.C., and you got there, and the first thing you did was after you got into your hotel room was watch a Love Boat episode.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's the best, is getting to the hotel and then putting the TV on.
Yeah, it is the best.
There's just something about that.
The other thing about that trip, but after your trip story, because that was so amazing to me that you guys had gone to Washington, D.C. I was just like, golly, can't even imagine it. It must have been fantastic. And the other thing was that you had driven the whole way back in one day.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just, to me, it seemed light years away. And I could not, you're kidding me. You drove all the way from Washington, D.C. And of course, you know, then you become an adult and having lived in Washington, of course you do that in one day.
Well,
you know?
Although the anger over that has still never subsided. So
you'll have to cut this off before.
We'll just put it out there.
You'll just have to cut that off.
That's still a bitter thing in our family.
I will have to say that now, having aged into, you know, having children, having a child and stuff, I don't do that drive in one day now. And I can't imagine doing it with little kids. But,
well, we were all four in the front of a pickup truck.
That's pretty rough.
This is before the days of King Cabs.
That's pretty rough. That's a long trip.
And that was not the plan.
So you come down on the anti side of this argument. You were ready to
I wish we had, we were going to, the original plan was to stop in Lexington and stay the night there and then get up the next day and kind of tour around central Kentucky a little bit before heading back. You know, and make that a whole other day of vacation.
Right.
But somebody had to get back to work.
Just had to cut that all out.
Somebody had to get back to work. So
started getting nervous.
Oh, yeah.
It probably had something to do with, like, cigarette availability or something like that.
Our one vacation ever. That was.
Yeah. Had to cut it off to get back. This should be a whole episode. This should be a whole episode.
That was, things happen. Things happen on that trip that are still, you know, we still talk about in the family. So.
That's great.
On that drive back, yeah.
All right.
I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.